welcome to Metal Hammer Podcast episode 35. Ooh. How is everyone doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Nick, can't complain.
Come on.
Can't complain. Way party.
It's Wednesday. Come on.
Pump day.
Pump day, as people insist on calling it. Yes.
Well, I'm excited because our new issue is still on sale.
It's still on sale.
Still on sale.
Yay.
Within Temptation on the cover, the amazing story of what they've been through over the last couple of years, what the new album's going to be all about, as well as loads of other names like Behemoth, Lamb of God, Nightwish, Clutch, Beartooth, Xylonada, Death, Black Peaks, Meshuggah, Saxon, Venom Prison, and Al Nathrak. Loads of things in there. Go pick it up. Free CD on the front as well. All about global metal. So some bands that you might not know about, which are pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Also on sale are our Within Temptation bundles. You can go grab those online. They come with a poster and a signed lyric sheet, and you can pick them up for £20. So go check those out.
Yeah, I don't
now.
Think there's many left.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah,
literally go get them now. Move as quickly as you can.
People want Sharon's signature.
They do, don't they? Within Temptation bundles, poster, signed lyric sheet, go get them.
Pause the podcast, do that, come back.
Yeah, pause now, buy that, then come back and listen to this.
Good, I like the way you think.
And we're back.
Well, busy week in Hammerworld.
Yes, you went somewhere before I did.
I went to Hailstorm on Friday, saw them at Brixton Academy headlining with Avatar Supporting.
Any good?
Yeah, it was good. No. I mean, we're going to come on to it in a minute. I really like Avatar, so I was quite excited to see them. If you've not heard about Avatar, they basically dress like a bunch of circus freaks and have loads of clown makeup on, and Johannes, the singer, kind of goes off with a cane and does kind of quite circusy dance moves.
Yeah, it's like a ringleader type
and,
man.
Yeah, and they kind of came up with this image, and they have quite a lot of like songs about freak shows and weird stuff. And the last album was all about the concept of a king. And so, you know, they've been doing a lot of stuff related to Avatar Country, which is their own country.
Yes.
And then one of their band members, the guitarist, is the king of their country. So it's quite involved. I was actually promised an Avatar passport, but I never got one.
Aww.
And so I need to look into if my citizenship's been revoked or, you know,
process
my application.
Go do it before Brexit, too.
I know, right? Because I want to be citizen of the UK and Avatar Country.
Wasn't the last album about a bird or something?
No, you're thinking of one before, Feathers and Flesh. Come on. Feathers and Flesh. That was about an owl. That was an epic poem about an owl that you can buy in a storybook. Anyway,
sure.
I digress.
Yeah.
So I was very excited to see them because they're just good performers. You know, whatever they do, they just come on and look like they should be in a freak show where they
Islington Assembly Hall? Was that the gig?
No, Brixton Academy.
Sporting Hailstorm. Which is a massive, massive deal for them. But shortly after they started, which is what we'll come on to, I got very sad because I found out that Machine Head were announcing a farewell tour. So that actually
midway through the gig,
marred my experience a bit. And Merlin's not here today, obviously, but he was going, oh, look, you know, Avatar on stage, you like Avatar, that'll cheer you up. And I was like, oh, I'm really sad.
Oh, not even at the king of Avatar country could cheer you up.
But it has to be said, they were really good. Excellent. It was quite a long set. I think it's like 4 to 5 minutes to an hour. And they were a bassist down, it should be said. They were playing with their ghost bassist, which is actually a track of their bassist for unknown reasons. But I think maybe because of that, and because they're at Brixton, which is so big for them as well, they really gave it their all. They just threw everything into it. Johannes just looked incredible, and I don't think they could have done anything more, you know, even with the ghost bassist. They're really good, and you know, they are one of these bands where you wonder how big they can get, because they're quite niche. You know, not many people will take the time to go off and look at their weird concepts. And traditionally in the past as well, their music, they've varied quite a lot. Some of it's kind of more classic rock, some of it's more metal. So until they found the circus theme, they hadn't really stuck on like an image or a sound. So it feels like they're still kind of coming into themselves, and I think they should be given more opportunities, and people should take the time out to listen to them, because I think they are going somewhere.
But it's nice that bands are actually on a creative arc.
Yeah.
Not all bands are.
The one thing I'd say that was disappointing, actually, is that they didn't have a throne, which they had.
They had a lot of downloads.
They had a lot of downloads. Yeah. It's probably a bit too expensive to bring the throne to Brixton.
Not for the king. Come on. No expense spared.
The king was probably, like, really annoyed about that. Yeah. doesn't have, you know,
it's given a bar stool or something.
Yeah, sit over here.
Deposed.
Be the king of the corner, yeah.
But how about Hailstorm.
They were great, actually. I've seen them a couple of times. They obviously play the Golden Gods as well.
Mm.
And they're always impressive, but they really, like, played that show like it was their last show. I mean, on the record as well, I think Hailstorm can be quite polished. And sometimes they're, like, maybe a little bit more on the rocky side, the classic rock side, and less on the metal side. But they just came out and absolutely just blew the venue away. Lizzie is obviously the focal point, and her voice was incredible. She was doing all these kind of vocal theatrics. You know, with her image at the moment, she's kind of invoking Joan Jett and those kind of elder stateswoman of rock. And she just, you know, she was throwing herself on the ground on her knees and, like, screaming, and everyone in the venue was screaming, and it was, yeah, it was a really good fucking rock show, basically.
She's a rock star.
She's a rock star, and if anyone has any doubts, if they'd have been at that show, they would have been erased. And there's really not a lot more to say than that.
Good. Was it sold out? Was it busy?
It was busy, yeah. It was really packed.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was a good sign. And
they got a big crowd down
there. The audience as well was really varied. There were people there who didn't quite look old enough to be there. And there were people standing next to me who looked like they're retirees. So it was a really varied mixture.
Maybe it was the kids of the retirees.
Yeah, just sat in the back of their arms folded like,
I don't know. I mean, it was just,
you were like this rock stuff.
It was just one of those very diverse audiences, because they've got that appeal, they've got that kind of more polished sound and record, they've got the rock and roll appeal. I think Lizzie Hale is a real icon as well, especially for young women coming up in the scene. She's sort of positioned herself that way on social media as well, doing Ask Lizzie questions, and it was just really nice to see, because on the one hand, you've got like, oh shit, what's happening with Machine Head? And then on the other hand, you've got, well, this is a headline band who are coming packing out Brixton, and everybody here on a Friday night is well up for it. So it's quite nice to see, really. And if I had to have some sad news, I was glad to be there. But we will come on to that sad news later, because it might not be so sad.
Hooray!
Hooray!
We went to a gig the day after, didn't we?
We did.
Slightly different to Hailstorm.
Very different to Hailstorm.
Very different to Hailstorm, I suppose.
We went to see Scarlord.
We did! And it was
great. It was my first time. Was it yours? I forgot to
ask. Yes, I'd never seen him before.
Yeah.
I've been following him on the YouTubes for a while. But I remember seeing, I never heard of him until a few months ago. But he played The Underworld, I think. And suddenly everyone, all I could see was everyone on Instagram going, this is mental. You need to check this out. So we did. Brixton Electric on Saturday. And yeah, it was mind-blowing. It was really good. So way better than I thought it was going to be. I wrote shared some thoughts online already about what I think it means for metal.
It's a really good piece. Go check that out.
Oh, you!
Real. You're not going to say it, are you?
I am. It's,
well,
fucking,
I don't
want to
stoke your ego, though.
But the actual show itself was amazing, because we got there. There was midway through the second DJ, I think, Jackie P, who I wasn't originally. Initially, I was like, oh, he's just playing songs. This isn't that great. But eventually, he sort of got what he was doing. And it was like, he, as a DJ, he's brilliant, I thought.
He was completely there, you know, which is, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because most of the music that we engage with is live bands or solo artists. You don't really get DJs who are big, like Skrillex kind of swept through a few years back and did Brixton and was a DJ.
Yeah, stood there with his laptop.
DJs aren't really a thing in our world.
DJ Lethal, come on.
I'm sorry. DJs out of bands.
Yeah, you know,
it's kind of almost an odd thing having everybody like at the front of a room looking at a DJ.
Yeah.
You just automatically like, this is a bit weird.
But then Scarlord came out, didn't he? And it all kicked off. It was amazing. Like, before he came on, there was an obvious like buzz in the air. Like, there was some sort of anticipation. You could feel it's like everyone's just sort of like, oh, I'm here having a lovely time, but I just want to kick people in the head. And as soon as he came on, like it's not a massive venue. I think it's about 600 people there, someone was saying. But they were all jumping as soon as he came out and just didn't stop for an hour. His scream's amazing as well.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I read something online, or saw something, a video of him talking about how he just genuinely, like, he does his vocal warm ups and warms downs and drinks all these teas and stuff to make sure he protects his voice and everything. And it's doing a good job. Like, he was screaming for well over an hour. And yeah, which to be fair was a bit too long. But yeah, he was just all over. And you fell in love with him. He did a spin kick.
I was just thinking about the spin kick all the way through when you're talking about that.
It was
the
amazing.
Spin kick was, I just had this moment where I saw this spin kick, and it was one of those things where I just did it in like a split second, I just turned to look at Luke and was just like, Luke, what has happened?
I fancy this man.
Did not say that, Luke.
No, not in those exact words.
I did not say that anything of those of my nature. I simply said,
if your husband
look
is listening,
at him, he did a spin kick.
Yes.
Because it's just the amount of energy he had on stage. Because we often see bands who do amazing shows. You know, Lizzie, we were just talking about, was a great example of somebody who did a fantastic show on Friday. But the thing about Scarlett is this one guy, and he was able to hold a room the whole time because he was just constantly on the move. There was no time when he stood still. You know, it wasn't just spin kicking. It was just like all these kind of dance moves, like moving across the stage, like really engaging with people as well, kind of getting down to their level, like coming back up again, interacting with DJ a bit as well. He was Jackie P. Kind of we should say as well. He stayed on for the whole set. He was kind of doing the music part.
He was sort of like that.
Scarlett was singing.
It's like almost like the hype man without a microphone.
Yeah,
it's
definitely
just,
the hype man.
Just runs around with his top
so
off.
They were interacting with each other as well. And then, yeah, Scarlett took his shirt off as well. And it's a bit like... I didn't mean it like that. I don't know what is wrong with Luke today. Sorry, everybody. But he was... I've lost a train of thought now.
He took his top off.
You're thinking about him with the top off, aren't you?
Why am I subject to this? Literally, why? He had like a big tattoo across his chest and looked really metal, is basically what I was going to say. And
he didn't have his mask on, though.
He was just really into it. No, that was disappointing.
That was disappointing. But yeah, everyone was going crazy. Like, there was like mosh pits for every song. He consistently parted the crowd. And it was just like, I want to see you destroy each other. Oh, well, not quite as growly as that. But then,
it's pretty growly.
Pretty growly. And yeah, everyone was, despite everyone filming everything, everyone was still throwing themselves around. Like throwing the horns in the air. There was a circle pit, although they were more sort of skipping in a circle.
Yeah, that was a bit weird, wasn't it, as well? Because also a lot of people had metal merch on as well, which you can read about in Luke's piece. So people had Architects caps on, Slipknot t-shirts. And Scarlett's a big fan of Slipknot, and they did that thing where you get down the floor and then you jump the fuck up. Right. So everybody got down on the floor, but then it was really weird. Instead of jumping the fuck up, everyone just kind of like
just gradually rose to their feet.
And I was filming on my phone. And I was like, this will be a really good clip for my Insta story. And no, it just
speed up.
Speed up. Like, wow, look how fast they move.
But it was just that. It's that hunger, isn't it? Really, like it sounds a bit pretentious to say it, but it's that kind of like they really want it. Like it's they're new artists. It's a new audience and they just really, really want it, and it was just really exciting to see it happen because you're just kind of like, this is kind of one of those we were there moments.
I think Scarlett obviously wants to be big, that's because he's an artist, but I think there was a lot of desire there for the crowd to want to see him succeed. It was like
and they're all kind of doing what he said with the circle pits and the jumping up, even if people didn't quite get it.
There was no sort of cynicism there. Like, a lot of the time, when people say, like, oh, I want to see split apart, I want to see we'll sit down, there's lots of often, you're near the back, where it's like, no, I can't be arsed with this. You do that.
I think as well, everyone was into it. You mentioned in your write up, there are a couple of times when Jackie P like just put in a bit of AC/DC and put in a bit of Oasis, and you're like, what is going on here? But everyone was like, yeah, I'm really into this. It's like, everyone was just really into everything. It didn't really matter.
Exactly. It was just music.
Everything was good. Everyone was like, I just want to be here. And this is a very distance way of looking at it at the end of the day. It was just really fun.
Yeah, if Scarlett comes near you, I think this is the end of the UK tour, but I think he's going to the States next. Go see him. It'll be mad.
Yeah.
Should we look at some news?
Go on then, Luke.
Seeing as we talked about the sad news. And I've left my notes in another room, listener, so you'll have to bear with me. But Machine Head are not splitting up.
Yeah, so initially, like we were saying, I was at this gig on Friday, I'm not sure where you guys were, and this news came out about the farewell tour, and Rob had recorded a video clip, or I think it streamed it on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
But I wasn't able to watch it, and I was just thinking, what is going on? Like, are they splitting up? Is it literally a farewell tour? What is happening? And couldn't really find out without watching the video. And it's kind of transpired over the last few days anyway that they're not necessarily splitting up. This is a farewell tour for the current lineup. So Phil and Dave are leaving. And it looks like Jared's staying, I think.
Yeah,
because he's kind of said, and Rob's not indicated that he's leaving. I think he's actually said, ignore the media reports. Machine Head are not splitting up. This is just
he's kind of responsible for all those media reports.
Well, I think if you put a farewell tour under your caption of your live video, people are going to jump to conclusions. But that's just the inevitability of the way information spreads as well. So good news is they're not splitting up. Bad news is two of them leaving.
Yes, I think.
So,
I
how do we feel about this?
I think it's interesting. I think the way he's phrased it, I haven't got the exact quote in front of me because I'm ill prepared, printed off, and left it at my desk. But it was something to do with this incarnation is of Machine Head is dead. They're doing this string of dates in the States.
Yeah, and that's quite a lot of dates.
Yeah, quite a lot.
40 dates.
Yeah, I think it was meant to be about the new album tour, but now they're just doing it as like best of Machine Head, I think. But yeah, I think it sucks. I think it's. I guess a lot of people are saying they're not surprised, which I think it's a bit harsh. I know the reaction to the latest album wasn't great for a lot of people, and the one before Blood, Sweat and Diamonds sort of got swept under the rug a bit because it came out in December and everyone had sort of. Yeah, the media, had sort of wound down by then, and yeah, I guess that they have not really been able to live up to the Blackening, to be honest. Mm. Afterwards, and I think everyone wants to see Machine Head succeed, but they've just not really reached that next level from the past like 7 years, maybe. But yeah, it's good to see they're not finishing because I like Machine Head, and I think whenever I see them live, it's always brilliant. But I'd be interested to see why it's just going to become why it's just going to end up being Rob is the only constant there.
Well, he kind of hinted at that in his video and in interviews and so on as well, didn't he? Because even if I've been very vocal about the fact that I like the last few records and
yeah, he reviewed
stuff
it
on there. Yeah, but I think people have kind of said that he could be difficult to work with, and he said in the Facebook Live clip that he knows he's not the easiest person to work with. I think he called himself a barnacle, which I quite like. I like the sea, so that was quite good.
Fair enough.
He said it's got some rough edges and it's not always easy. So I think it's always been his band, and he even he used to call himself the General on his blog. I'm not sure if he still does. So I kind of guess he's always steering it, and there might be disagreements about the way things go. He might be quite stubborn about things, and that's what he alluded to in the video, really. So I guess that's kind of the reason.
I mean, Phil Demmel was a fairly integral part of the band. He was a part of the identity. I mean, Machine Head's more than just Rob Flynn.
Yeah.
So I want to know if it's internal tensions. I want to know what's going to be like on tour for the last.
Yeah.
That's
going
to be awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. And how's that going to tensions going to translate on stage?
It'd be interesting. I'd quite like to see them on this tour just to see. I imagine there'd be a lot of fire emotional fire on stage from all of the people, from everyone involved. It'd be quite a cathartic release for all of them, especially Phil Demmel and Dave, knowing this would be the last time they ever play these songs.
Yeah, I can't remember how long Phil's been in it, but it's a long time.
Yeah, 15 years or something. Yeah. It feels ages.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Yeah, it does suck, but it's not the end of Machine Head, so whatever that may mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of felt that, that last album, it was basically Rob Flynn running wild and desperate need of an editor. And just the album went on for far too long. There were songs that just didn't need to be there. It was just, I just thought the album was a complete mess, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but when you have and even having a seasoned musician like Phil Demmel with you wasn't enough to kind of keep his worst instincts, musical instincts, in check. So who's he going to bring in? Is he going to bring in just a kind of bunch of yes men, or is he going to bring in some old hands? And if it's just Rob Flynn calling all the shots all the time, I just think after that last album, someone needs to have a word, basically.
I guess we'll see, won't we? We've got a reader question on that note later, so let's maybe park it there and come on to the next story.
Well, there's a new Rammstein album coming, which I think we all knew. Evan has done a fist pump. But according to an interview with the... I can't remember who it was. I've lost it.
What's wrong with you today?
I know, it's right. My notes are in the room. Either way, he's been in an interview with a member of Rammstein saying it's coming out in spring. Thoughts? And they're recording it live, in a circle, all in the studio together, apparently.
I'm not sure it's recorded with...
I'm going to go get my notes, listener. You talk amongst yourselves. I'll be back.
But I'm really excited about the Rammstein album, and it's been such a long time in the making. I think the thing I like about them is that they always surprise you. You never know what's going to happen, whether they're going to just come out with some really insane song about a cannibal or...
Yeah, it's just...
You never know what's going to go.
Every Rammstein album is kind of an explosion of ideas, and you're going to get all the videos with it, you're going to get some crazy box set, everything's just so much part of a concept with them.
Yeah, and it's
just like this thing happened, like the album lands, but all this other weird stuff pours out from another dimension through this portal of the album.
And obviously Till's a really strong personality, but the others have really strong personalities too.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're cartoon characters sometimes, like Flacker on the, you know, treadmill, and Richard is quite a strong presence in that band too, so...
Well, it was guitarist Paul Landers that said.
So edit all that last bit out.
So right now, it looks like this new record will be coming out next spring, and what we've been mainly doing is playing together in a circle with all the guys in one room, which isn't how I imagine Rammstein.
No, that sounds kind of a bit more earthy.
Actually, guys, if you'd read the last Metal Hammer feature on Rammstein, you might have known that that's actually how they were writing their songs, was they were getting in a room together and having little sessions.
That's good.
Yeah, so... that's what they're doing.
Good. I'm just coming in the spring.
Yeah.
And I'm very stoked. Does that mean they could be here for summer? Wouldn't that be exciting?
Very tight. Maybe a festival appearance or a big massive show somewhere?
I'd like an indoor. I've never seen Rammstein indoors. I'd quite like a big indoor show.
Well, Luke hasn't really seen Rammstein because
Luke got too drunk at Download and doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Classic.
Which I was very sad about, because I was very excited for Luke's first time and I went to watch with him and everything so he could experience the joy of Rammstein and all the fire and the flames, and then he ran off into the crowd and I was like, what are you doing?
You're naked.
Yeah. I had a great time, but yeah.
So like barks glowing.
I thought we were going to have some fun and you've just left me in a field. I had a good time.
I drank a lot that day, I'm sorry.
So there's another news story.
Yeah,
there's
not a lot else going on in the world, but Megadeth have announced the latest
Mega
band. The Mega Crew, the latest band to announce another one of these metal cruisers.
Now?
Well, Kiss have got one. Yes have got one.
70,000 tons.
There's 70,000 tons. There's Barge to Hell, I think that's one. Paramore have got one. Weezer have had one. Frank Turner, I think, has had one.
There's another one done by the same guys, the Wacken guys, who do 70,000 tons as well.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I think there's just...
Oh, is that like Metal on the Sea or something?
Yeah, it's kind of very much geared towards Germans, that festival.
It's... I've been on 70,000 tons, and I think it was great. It was, you know, a very cool thing. But it's weird having it based around bands. I think having it, it's like the focal point is just one thing. Or what I quite liked about 70,000 tons is like, hey, we've made quite an eclectic bill of metal, of quite cool metal bands. Like those Cannibal Corpses, Behemoth, yeah.
But also like gigs are going like until 4 a.m. And
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah,
so
the band's starting
kind of this weird sort of 24-hour.
I guess I should mention as well, we did a piece in Hammer which was all about Megadeth having a camp at Dave Mustaine's house.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They've got previous for this kind of fan experience.
Well, it's quite cool.
So everybody basically, we sent a writer down to go and experience this camp, and he basically kind of like hung out and chatted with the band, went to some of the sessions. They had sessions on guitar playing, kind of... They had like campfire sessions where I think they like toasted marshmallows and like talked
That's
about
metal.
Things around the campfire. And they had like Q&As, and it was all within the grounds of Dave's home. So he very much kind of said it was welcoming fans into his sort of circle and getting up close and personal. And he did talk in that piece about doing something along similar lines with this new farm property. I think there was some funny quote
the
about
mega
cheese
farm.
Or something. The mega farm. But clearly he's decided to go for the cruise option. So they can make... a self-contained event work. It's just quite random when it's on a cruise, I guess. You're choosing to combine, I suppose it's the same thing really, you choose to combine a holiday with fandom of your favourite band. You know, you have to be really, really into Megadeth to go and spend 2 to 3 days or whatever it is.
It's not going to have the same kind of intimacy.
Well, not as being at his house, no.
No.
But, but you know, their fans are... so into Megadeth, because I think, again, in the piece we did, two of the fans got married on that one of those days as well. So I'm guessing there's a lot of connections between people and like a social life between them. So it might be that people are going, hey, we're like a group of friends and fans who all chat together, let's all go on the cruise.
That was the first thing I saw on 70,000 tons, actually, before the boat even set off. I saw two people getting married on the bridge over the swimming pool.
Amazing.
By a priest dressed a bit like Papa Emeritus. And it was just like, what the fuck is going on here? And then yeah, it is great, but I think cruisers just don't feel as special as they used to anymore. And I think a band with, like you say, with such a connection to their fans as Megadeth, they could have, you know, pushed the boat out a bit more.
Oh,
nice. And done something really special. But I think this would still be cool. Like if you know, if you get to see Megadeth, you know, at least twice at a play.
I think they'll do like theme sets, maybe like every night they'll do like a different kind of era or something. Yeah, they'll do something cool to like mix it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Are there going to be like no other bands at all?
No, there will be. Yeah, it'd be weird if it's just Megadeth. But because I think I'm going to say that tons of like 30 bands or something. It's like four stages. But yeah, I imagine the main attraction is obviously going to be Dave. But yeah, it'd be good. Yeah, I'm sure. If someone wants to take me, I'll go. But yeah,
I had an unpleasant experience on a cruise, so I'm not sure I want to go.
Not sure I want to know.
Is it food related?
It was norovirus related.
Oh no!
There was a plague on the whole ship.
God, it sounds like a horror film.
It was.
See, that sounds amazing. That sounds like amazing, like some plague zombie ship. I just want to see these actual like metal festivals just go to war in the high seas. Like, just get cannons. It's like 70,000 ton shooting cannons at mega cruise.
Just get them all out like warships, right? Have them all the same weekend and just
let them fight it out.
Yeah,
that would be pretty much.
You could literally take a ship down by norovirus as well. You just everyone's incapacitated.
We'll
just put you in a catapult and just like fling you into the other ship like by the end of the anthrax cows.
I don't want to have it again. Anthrax cows. What are you talking about?
When they used to besiege cities, they'd get a cow which had anthrax,
right?
And they catapulted over the walls of the city and like make everyone ill and dead.
Yeah.
Have you heard about
it? I didn't know it was anthrax, but I've heard about disease-ridden animals being flung over city walls.
I'm really not happy with being an anthrax cow.
Yeah, that privilege has been bestowed to you, Eleanor.
Yeah, just work it.
Yeah, own it.
Right, I think we should move on.
Let's get out some questions.
Go on, Jonathan, you can.
Okay, right. Ben Wilmot asks, intro tracks and albums, do you bother listening to them or do you skip it and start straight off from track two?
I'm too lazy to skip things, and I think if someone's put them there, they've put them there for a reason, so I'll just play it and listen to them. I can't think of an example of something that's really like annoying.
No, I mean, one of my experiences that got me into extreme metal was to do with an intro, and it was Realm of Chaos by Bolt Thrower.
Okay, I don't remember the intro track.
It's, because the whole thing was like done around Warhammer and like sort of fantasy game. So the cover looked ridiculous, the logo looked ridiculous, the intro was ridiculous, it was this kind of like big sort of intro to some battle with this growly voice, and it was like this and it was just like, I knew it was ridiculous, but it was still like amazing. And then it's also the intros are great, but also their transition into the actual song, so it's like, and then suddenly boosh and you're into the album. So intros can be really good. The intro to The Wild Hunt was amazing. And it kind of it sets a tone for the album as well, the good ones.
So I very rarely, if I'm going to stick an album on in full, I'm just going to sit and listen to the album, then I'll listen to the whole thing. There are some that I probably do skip to, like the only one that springs to mind is Chocolate Starfish, the intro to that, where it's just like, this is not a test in the robot.
It's reality.
Yes.
I quite like that. I feel like that sets the tone.
It does, but at the same time, it's like, I'm not spit. I can't be asked to listen to this. But 9 times out of 10, I think I do. I think that Jonathan says they do add to the record. Like, I'm not going to stick one in the middle of my own playlist. I'm not going to go, let's add the intro track.
I actually wanted to make a compilation album of just the best metal intro tracks.
Please do
ever.
That.
That'd be good.
Let's do it after this.
Make it on Spotify.
We'll share it.
Because
I've gone completely blank as well. I can't think of anything. I think it's because he called me an anthrax cow.
It's what the episode title will be.
Just still upset, basically.
I decreed you as anthrax.
Well, I'm going to do the next question. I mean, we have talked about this a lot, but we could do it quickly. Tim Ruffsedge asks, what would your dream future Machine Head lineup be?
So I guess that means you need a new drummer and a new guitarist.
Yeah, so again, just to clarify, Rob is obviously Rob. Jared is staying, he plays bass. And Phil Demmel's leaving on guitar and Dave McLean's leaving on drums. So we're looking for a guitarist and a drummer to replace Phil and Dave.
Drums, I've got two names written down. I've got Dave Lombardo,
mm-hmm.
because he's sessioning for a few people right now. He's doing Suicidal. And I think is he not with Danzig or Misfits or something? I can't remember.
There's a super group. Is it with the super group? Yeah. The Mike Patton one?
Oh, it's in the Mike Patton one as well. Yeah. Yeah, it's in Dead Cross. Yeah, and the Andy's was suicidal. So that'd be cool. I think he obviously, he can play, you know, that sort of metal fairly easily, I imagine. And also Gene Hoglan, is it his name?
Yeah, he's literally the best drummer.
He's amazing. I think we saw him with Testament a few years ago, and yeah, you just couldn't take your eyes off him.
The same with Fear Factory as well. Like any band you get, as soon as you get Gene behind the kit, they're instantly elevated.
Yeah,
they're so good.
He like hits really hard.
Yeah,
and he's literally called the Atomic Clock. So.
Literally called the Atomic
Clock. What are you going to do?
Exactly. So
and programmed the drum kit from hell. Or he was at least the inspiration for it.
Was he?
I can't remember if he definitely programmed it. Now I'm scared I've got the facts wrong.
Oh, someone will be shouting at their speakers.
I think he was the guy behind it on the drums, on the drum kit from hell.
Who have you got as drums, Jonathan?
Well, Gene Hodden was an idea. Who else was I thinking? My brain's gone, sorry. Yeah, I'm not really like the world, like as you can probably guess, I'm not the world's biggest Machine Head fan.
But you could help them with, you know, with two
yeah.
new,
yeah.
New rhythm favorites. Section. Yeah.
Yeah, stick Hellhammer behind the drums. you know, he doesn't just drum for extreme metal bands, but he's just ridiculously tight drummer and intricate. But just also every beat is totally well defined. It's not. It doesn't just blast. It's so yeah. Just someone that doesn't sound like Machine Head to make him sound less like Machine Head would be great.
Well,
harsh. Who have you got for guitars, Alan?
Well, again, I was thinking along the same lines as you. You want someone who's either a session musician or is playing in various projects but doesn't have like a massive main band, because I don't want to take somebody from one of the bands I really like, but I also want them to be somebody who is really cool. So I was thinking of Wes Borland or Ben Wyman.
Ben Wyman would be cool.
Because, you know, Wes obviously has got projects going on. He's got Queen Kwong, don't know what's going on with Biscuit. But he seems to be quite good at just, you know, doing stuff.
Mm.
Like, actually kind of getting involved with things. And he's a good player. And Ben Wyman, I don't know what he's up to at the moment, because he did Giraffe Tongue Orchestra, didn't he? And then obviously Dillinger have gone their separate ways. I think he's got a farm.
Everyone's got farms now.
It's a cool thing. So, but he's also just got, like, an amazing energy. And it'd be really cool to see, like, how that translates into Machine Head. Because they're very different bands. It would be weird to see.
Yeah,
very strange to see.
Yeah, I think Ben Wyman's usual guitar playing has a few more angles.
Yeah.
Than Machine Head tends to do. Machine Head a bit more on the linear side of things.
They are, and just kind of straight down heavy metal lines.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't really think of a guitar. That's how I didn't even think of the two you mentioned. They were just sort of like who are just part of a project who aren't really doing much right now. So I thought of Scott Ian just because he could do Machine Head songs fairly easily.
Yeah.
And Mark Morton from Lamb of God, I thought would be bring a nice little crunch to everything.
Stop taking away from Lamb of God. I want to see them.
I know. But do you not want to see Machine Head with
Lamb of God? And you know, he did Double Duty, didn't he, Mark, on a tour? Did he play with... Was it him who played... Am I thinking of somebody else?
No, what's his name? The drummer... Chris did. He did
Chris Adler.
Yeah,
so he did
Double Duty. Yeah, Megadeth.
That's
and
it.
Lamb of God.
So there's precedent there. If precedent
exactly.
Is that the word?
That might be the word. Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? Previous.
Previous. Why
that's
not?
Previous. Lamb of God have had a member go do another big band before, and they're still a thing.
Exactly. So. The bloody hard lads.
Well, the next question is quite weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know where this came from, but but Ryan Smithies asks, who would be the better chef, Ozzy or Lemmy? I don't know if I'd eat something either of them. Of course.
Well, you know, like we know, like Ozzy is good at making breakfast. There's that famous footage of him, like
I've not seen that
of him, like being interviewed as part of Black Sabbath, and he's making sausage and eggs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Just talking about heavy metal. Well, all right, you know, I'm making sausage and eggs.
It's a staple heavy metal.
Yeah, it's a famous part of the documentary, and I also think there's a lot of stuff you can do with Jack Daniels and food.
Yes.
I mean, that's
yeah,
a really good
yeah.
point, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of barbecue.
I mean, they make a lot of their own products, but yeah, just stick, love Jack Daniels and anything. And
many a pub company make their money from that.
Yeah, so I'd go to Aussie for a good fry up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'd basically...
Lemme with some sauces.
Lemme with some sauces. And yeah, just cooking with Jack Daniels.
A whiskey barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Lemmy even eating Like, it literally just survived on booze and fags.
Cigarettes.
It was great. It's like, well done.
Yeah, I really struggled to think of food for either of them. Like, either any instances of seeing them eat food or cook food. And all you can think of is Ozzy and a bat, isn't it? And you're like, don't want that in your mouth.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, that's bat stew.
Mm-hmm. No.
No?
So we've got to choose then, I guess. Are we going with Ozzy?
I'd say Ozzy only because there's actual proof he's eaten.
And cooked.
And once cooked.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Lemmy because I'm thinking I make a good soup. It's just basically...
It's just a bowl of whiskey.
Yeah. Horrible. With faggots.
Yeah, cigarette croutons floating it.
I feel like you should eat that next podcast just to...
prove a point.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Well, David Connell asks, this is a multi-part question, guys, so deep breath.
Are we ready?
Which metal song should have been the theme music for each zone in the Crystal Maze? Aztec, futuristic, medieval, industrial, ocean.
Yeah, I had to Google what the actual zones were. For some reason, I thought there were only four, but it turned out, yeah, there's five different zones in the Crystal Maze, excluding the final dome zone, the Crystal Maze itself, I guess, I don't know what it's called. But I fucking love the Crystal Maze. Just throw that out there. It's brilliant. Richard Ayoade is amazing. Anything he's in is
anything brilliant. He's in is incredible.
But yeah, so Aztec Zone, guys, what are we saying?
Well, you've picked the same as this.
I think you've picked the exact same song
exactly
as you.
Yeah, we've both picked. Have you picked Death of Glory?
Yeah, I picked the exact same song.
Well, we went for Iron Maiden because the Book of Souls and the whole Aztec thing. And I can't pronounce Mayan. Mayan?
You just did.
Mayan.
Mayan, yeah. Okay. Well, Jonathan told me off earlier. We were talking about it, and he said I said it wrong. So.
No, I didn't. I just said you were confusing Aztecs with Mayans.
Yeah, I think there is a difference. I think this might be...
I remember us doing some research...
History will not look kindly upon you.
Yeah. I remember doing some research on this when we did our feature, but that was a long time ago. So I'm just going to go with it. And Death or Glory, because it sounds quite like, you know, pumps you up, doesn't it?
See, I went for it because it has the line, climb like a monkey in it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only reason I was like, which songs? All the other ones are sort of a bit more. I guess, yeah, also, all the sort of, every song on that album is like, yeah, I'm here to pump you up or whatever, except for the last one that just, yeah, goes on forever. But all I think I was like, oh, yeah, we'll just do it. Just to climb like a monkey one. Because in Crystal Maze, there might be a challenge about climbing.
There might.
And then you could have, yeah, the climb like a monkey song. Easy.
Right then, Jonathan, synergy. What's your choice?
I'd just put Rahamatata on a loop.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's quite good.
I mean, yeah.
Tribal.
Yeah, it's very terrible.
It's very good.
Just, yeah. What else do you need?
Yeah, what else do you need? All right, and how about futuristic?
I would put maybe Aranzi Bazuzu.
You love them so much.
I do so much. And yeah, because you'll never find your way out of that zone ever.
This is like last week. So last week, Jonathan said he wanted to have his own festival where he'd have a void at the festival.
Yeah, yeah.
People would just disappear, and this is like your nightmare.
They ascend to the next level of consciousness.
You've just got a weird passion for locking people in rooms.
Yeah, and disorientating them. So then what, Arcturus would be good?
Arcturus would be cool.
Yeah.
Well, I picked Carpenter Brute, which is sort of retro feature, I guess, but the song Leather Teeth is good. It's got that sort of, you know, constant kind of beat in the background.
Yeah, get your adrenaline going.
Exactly, yeah.
So, as the time runs out and you might get locked in, yeah, and you have to sacrifice a crystal to get out. I watch a lot of Crystal Maze.
Hell yeah, so that's mine, Leather Teeth.
Well, I went a slightly different tack. Well, I went Drab Majesty, not necessarily metal, but they're in that world. And
that's
interesting. And they've got a whole futuristic vibe going. Like, they look like they're from the future when they play. And I also put Meshuggah.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine trying to do the Crystal Maze?
Yeah,
you've got Meshuggah.
I see this wild bleeds on in the background and you're trying to do this really intricate puzzle.
Meshuggah, a lot of their songs are just sound like you'd be strapped in one of those gyroscopes. You're just going off in order, going around in order, actually.
Exactly, yeah, that's sort of a crystal shape.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't, whether it was you, Jonathan, and said it, but someone's, you know, compared Meshuggah to the sound of the future.
I don't really like how you're
feeling. It just sounds like some alien mothership is beamed down and you don't know what to do with it.
Solve the puzzle in 2 minutes. That's what you have to do.
You know, decode the strange alien language.
Right, medieval.
Now, that was the hardest one.
It's
a
hard
thing.
One.
Because obviously there's no medieval metal bands, you know, as in that sort of, you know, weird subgenres that there might be. But I thought of Chorisas. And their cover of Rasputin would be a laugh.
Yeah, that's quite good, isn't it?
For the medieval section. Just because, yeah, it's quite a jovial one. Yeah, medieval doesn't really even though it's probably a really horrible time to live through.
It's a horrible time.
You sort of, in movies, yeah, you always just sort of go, oh, what a jolly old time I was drinking.
There are quite a few medieval, I mean, Eleviti are pretty medieval. They've got a hurdy-gurdy.
Oh, yeah, the hurdy-gurdy.
Yeah.
Which is fun to say.
Hurdy-gurdy.
Yeah. I went with Alestorm just because I was trying to think of someone who was, like, British and, like, embodied that whole kind of, like, grotty, depressing medieval thing, which they don't, they're pirates. But I actually googled before we came in, I just googled medieval pirates to see if it was a thing, and it is.
So, I stand corrected. I thought it was like in like 18th century, 17th century.
Oh, right.
But I guess pirates have existed throughout all
ages.
We don't
usually have time to think about these questions before we came in the room, but because it was a five parter, I quickly just got onto Google and kind of tried to work out what medieval stuff fit. But I actually went with Wenches and Mead, which is not depressing and miserable at all. But I just thought it'd be quite fun.
It's fun, yeah.
I'm sure there was some fun to be eked out in medieval times amongst
wenches
the muck and
mead.
The dirt and the disease.
There were wenches yeah. and there was mead. So
not
fine.
Everyone died in the Black Death, you know.
Industrial.
Sorry,
I thought you said well,
maybe. Well, Fodruna would be the obvious choice.
Good choice.
You know, you just feel like you're entering into something.
Yes.
Dead Can Dance. You know, almost every movie, they use that song, Host of Seraphim, and it's this kind of a riot. And you'll know it when you hear it, and it's been used in like about 10 different movies.
Right.
And it just sometimes you just want to, you know, you're running around, you get the medieval thing, there's probably shit in there. You just want to just take a rest, understand the splendour of everything.
You haven't got time to rest in the crystal maze, Jonathan.
Well, go.
You've got the sands of time running
out. Sometimes you need to take a breather and Host a Seraphim by by Dead Can Dance. It's one of those non-metal bands that every metal band loves. Would be perfect, and it's got this absolute incredible grandeur to it.
Excellent. All right, industrial, Eleanor.
I had Survivalism by Nine Inch Nails because I just thought if you're going to go with industrialism, you want to go with Nine Inch Nails, and if you want to go with a song, I just thought survivalism was kind of a funny idea because you want to survive in a crystal maze. That was basically it. So no more thought than that.
Yeah, so I sort of. The first two industrial bands that came to mind, I guess, were Rammstein and Ministry. And I didn't know. I think I'll pick Sonne by Rammstein because I love that song.
Sonne?
Yeah. Or maybe Engel. I love that song as well. But
oh, when he gets the fiery angel wings.
but yeah, maybe I'll go with Sonne by Rammstein. I think it'd be quite, you know, that's quite an uplifting sort of, you know, what's the word? Emphatic song. Sort of maybe spur you on towards glory of getting
a crystal. I have to say, if I was in there doing the zone, I'd be a lot more inspired by Sonne than I would survivalism. Because I would feel very excited and uplifted, whereas survivalism, I'd feel, because of the like beep, I'd feel a bit like panicked.
Just on edge.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, so that's a good choice.
I've got two choices.
Go on.
Front 242, Headhunter. Almost in every industrial club was always duty bound to play it about three times. Like late 90s, it was just the biggest industrial hit in the world. It was that line, I'm looking for this man to send him to other men. It just has this kind of clockwork thing to it that you just totally holds you. And the other one would be anything off the first two Young Gods albums, because they basically sound like tectonic plates just erupting. And,
nice.
And yeah, try and navigate those.
They kind of
weirdly, like, they didn't have any live guitars, this band. They just used to sample metal riffs and mix it in with classical music and then create something that was just like completely unique, and it was just like this convulsive landscape that was amazing. And yeah try jumping over lava fields and shifting tectonic plates. And
not sure I could, Jonathan.
Well, they've got this amazing
yeah, exactly. You won't win.
Yeah.
The last zone was Ocean.
Yeah, I mean, mine's so predictable. I just picked Devin Townsend because
he
wrote the record Ocean Machine, and then I picked Seventh Wave because it's just quite good. It's got that lyric as well, you're never alone, and I thought, you know, maybe you'd need that in your time of need.
Yeah, if you get locked in the room.
Locked in Jonathan's horrible room.
Locked in Jonathan's horrible
room. With an anthrax cow.
Yeah,
with me, basically.
Yeah, you're never alone with an anthrax cow.
You'd have been flung into the room over the barricade. Yeah.
I went for all I could think of the Ocean was Gajira's Magma.
Nice.
Which is wrong element.
But it's all about oceanic themes. Either Silvera or Stranded, I couldn't pick between the two. They're both amazing, and that whole album's flawless, really. Jonathan,
I could be really literal and go for The Ocean.
Nice. What, the band?
Yes. Yeah. You know, all their albums are like, they're like details of the formation of the Earth, but they've got like real momentum behind them as well too. And Oceanic by Isis.
You were going to say that.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I could be really literal, but it's a real kind of turning point album, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful record. And you know, you just want to catch your breath at the end and look at what you've done and go.
Yeah. It can also lull you into a trance-like state.
It will,
you know, transcend. I just thought, something you said brought it to my mind. The song Hadal by Conjurer, which is about the deepest part of the ocean.
Nice.
Well, I think only like 12 people have ever been.
At the Mariana Trench, or deeper than that?
I don't know, it's the deepest part. I know the Mariana Trench is
pretty deep,
but I don't know, it's the Hadal zone is just like...
Oh yeah, you could have Ahab, because they're a funeral doom band that actually sound like 20,000 tons of pressure from the water above you are actually forcing down on you, and yet strangely beautiful.
You have I Am Ahab by Mastodon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of Mastodon you could probably have, to be fair. Was it The Octopus Has No Friends? Was that a Mastodon song?
Oh, that makes
song? Me sad. Yeah, have that version, though.
They had a great white whale on the cover of their album.
Yeah. There's lots of big riffy music. I think that's it.
I'm feeling mildly more stressed after going through those.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know what to say. All I can think of is an album.
Would
nice
you apply to go on it?
I would, but I need a good team around me. Unfortunately, there's a lot in there. There's a lot of those challenges that I can't do. I'm not a physical man.
Write to us, tell us what you think on the Metal Hammer Readers Group on Facebook. Do you think Luke should apply to the Crystal Maze? And who should he take with him?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can make it happen.
Come on.
I just want to see you stranded up a sort of a fake mountain.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to see me stranded. Hello.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. I think that's probably all we have time for. Go get our current issue within Temptation. Our bundles are on sale as well, we mentioned at the beginning. £20, you get a poster, you get a signed lyric sheet, you get all the great stuff in the magazine as well. Go check that out online. You guys going to any gigs?
No, I'm going to the screening of the new Agnostic Front documentary this evening, so I can talk about that next week. So I'm quite looking forward to it. I know they're a sort of important band in terms of hardcore, but I don't really know their story. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing that. But no, in terms of gigs, I got nothing, unfortunately.
I've got a great double header coming up. Sunday is Yob at the Scala.
Is it? I thought that was next week.
Uh-oh, Link's got a calendar clash.
Okay. I may be going to a gig this weekend, or you may not be.
One or the other. I'm pretty sure it's... it could be...
This is great content, but I thought it was on the 12th of October, which is next Friday.
Oh, okay.
Well, we can sort this out.
Well, in that case, I'm going to see Talker on Monday.
Cool.
With Bolzer, and that's going to be an absolute riot.
Nice.
He's like I said, he's like the black metal at Iggy Pop. There's something about Bolzer just makes something want to burst out your chest, and it's going to be incredible.
If you see Jonathan there, watch him.
Yeah.
He'll be going silly.
Right, cheers guys. Subscribe on iTunes and Acast and leave us a review, please.
I think Merlin's back next week as well.
He is, yeah.
So we can hear all about his lovely time in, was it Canada and New York?
Canada and New York.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Bastard.
See you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.